Welcome to Beta Finch, your AI-powered earnings breakdown. I'm Alex, joined as always by Jordan, and today we're digging into IBM's second quarter 2026 results.
And Alex, this is a juicy one. There was already a pre-announcement before the official call, so expectations were managed, let's say.
Before we get into it, quick disclaimer: this podcast is AI-generated content for educational and entertainment purposes only. Nothing we discuss should be considered investment advice. Always do your own research and consult a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions.
Solid. Okay, let's talk numbers. Revenue growth of just 1% for the quarter. That's a real miss for IBM, which has been on a growth acceleration story for a while now.
Right, and CEO Arvind Krishna didn't sugarcoat it. He said flat out the quarter fell short of expectations. But here's the twist: it wasn't a demand problem across the board, it was concentrated.
Exactly. CFO Jim Kavanaugh explained that in the final weeks of June, clients suddenly redirected spending towards servers, storage, and memory, basically rushing to lock in infrastructure ahead of expected price increases. That caused tens of large enterprise license deals to slip.
And when those deals slip, it hits IBM's mainframe and software bundle hard. Transaction processing software revenue was down 9% for the quarter, and if you isolate the mainframe hardware itself, it was down 42% year-over-year.
Which sounds alarming, but context matters. That's coming off 70% growth in the same quarter last year during the z17 launch. And even with the dip, the z17 cycle is still running at nearly 130% program to program versus the z16 cycle, which was IBM's best ever.
So it's more lumpy than broken.
That's the bet management is making. And here's a number I liked: about 80% of IBM software revenue is recurring, subscription, or consumption-based, and that grew nicely, accelerating from 7% to 8% year-over-year. The real damage was isolated to that other 20%, the transactional, CapEx-sensitive chunk.
Free cash flow was a bright spot too, $4.8 billion through the first half, flat year-over-year, and management reaffirmed guidance to grow full-year free cash flow by about $1 billion.
Which is honestly the more impressive headline given the revenue miss. Kavanaugh pointed to strong underlying EBITDA growth. Plus, they front-loaded a lot of the cash tax and CapEx headwinds earlier in the year, so those pressures ease up in the second half.
Let's talk guidance. Full-year revenue growth is now expected at 4%-5%, down from the prior 5% plus target. Software guidance moved to 6%-8% for the year.
And this is the part analysts kept pushing on during Q&A: is this demand deferred or demand destroyed? Irvin's answer was pretty specific. Of the roughly 10 large deals that slipped, about a third had already closed in just the first 3 weeks of a new quarter. He called that a good indication, not yet full evidence that clients are delaying, not canceling.
He also had a great explanation for why it happened. Clients apparently didn't realize alternate infrastructure purchases were jumping 30% in price quarter to quarter until crunch time, so they diverted budget there and pushed off other spending, including IBM software bundled with hardware purchases.
On the strategic side, there's a lot going on beyond the mainframe story. Distributed infrastructure, think power and storage, had its best quarter of revenue growth on record, up 37% with $500 million in backlog, the highest ever.
And IBM's leaning hard into AI positioning. Watsonx Orchestrate, Red Hat, the Confluent, and HashiCorp acquisitions all framed around this idea of being the neutral orchestration and governance layer as enterprises figure out how to actually deploy AI rather than just experiment with it.
There's also this new security play called Lightwell, which came out of a vulnerability event called Mythos. IBM's selling access to remediated open-source packages for $1 million a year, and they've already signed up major banks: Bank of America, Citi, J.P. Morgan, Goldman, Visa, and others. Irvin pegged the total addressable market at multiple billions of dollars.
And don't sleep on quantum. IBM's putting more than $10 billion into it over 5 years, including a new quantum chip foundry project with the Department of Commerce, working toward a large-scale fault-tolerant quantum computer by 2029.
One more interesting nugget from Q&A, data segment revenue within software actually underperformed, even with Confluent's strong start. Irvin's explanation was basically that when clients have a fixed budget and something like Confluent looks more immediately valuable, data software gets deprioritized in the short term, but he expects it to recover.
So, stepping back, what's the actual read for investors here?
I'd frame it this way. This is a company navigating a timing disruption in its highest margin, most incumbent business, the mainframe software bundle, while its newer growth engines, subscription software, infrastructure consulting, are actually accelerating. Management is leaning on productivity initiatives to protect margins and cash flow, even as top-line growth stumbles.
And the guidance range itself is basically a tell. The low end assumes nothing improves from the June disruption. The high end assumes a fairly quick snapback. The next couple of quarters, especially how much of that slipped pipeline actually converts, will tell us which scenario is playing out.
Before we wrap, everything discussed is AI-generated analysis for educational purposes. Past performance doesn't guarantee future results. Please do your own due diligence.
Well said. IBM's got a lot of storylines running at once. Mainframe cycles, AI orchestration bets, quantum ambitions, and now a timing question on cash flow versus growth. We'll be watching third quarter closely to see if that deferred demand actually shows up.
Thanks for listening to Beta Finch. We'll catch you next time.
Take care, everyone.